This program may contain materials not suitable for smarter audiences. Listener discretion is strongly advised.
Hey guys, what's up? Welcome to Growing Up Optional,
the podcast for kids who think beyond their years.
And for grown-ups who still refuse to act their age.
We are your hosts.
My name is Brian.
And my name is Jenny.
We are recording right now in an undisclosed location in the Philippines, where atheists only account for a measly 0.1% of the religious population.
Damn, talk about being so outnumbered. Today is August 5, the year of your Lord, 2018.
And this is episode 6.
Episode 6.
Episode 6.
Alright, let's do this.
Yeah.
So, we apologize again, like we always start the show.
Yeah.
We apologize for not having an episode for so long. So, I think it's been, how many months, Brian?
November, December, January, February, March, April, May, June, July, August. 9 months.
it's been 9 months since our last episode. So, yeah, we've been very, very busy lately. So, we apologize for not having another show. But, hey, here we are. Say so Brian, tell me, what have you been up to?
Well, I attended this thing for school over the summer.
Yeah.
It's called the Math Enrichment Program.
Okay.
And it's
summer of this year.
Yeah, the summer of this year. And it's not like, it is summer school, but it's a
math. Because you failed.
No.
Okay. You failed subject.
Because I skipped a grade and I need to make up for that. Mm-hmm. So a bunch of us went to the Math Enrichment Program and it is supposed to help us with this year.
So are you enriched now?
I don't know, because not a lot of the topics are there. It's pretty weird. Not a lot of the topics. I mean, the formulas and stuff, but then it's not
so
there.
So math is so complicated that you have to have an advanced class for it, well, or really?
Yeah, okay. Apparently.
What else? What else is new with you?
Actually, my baby cousin, she came here just during July.
Newborn?
She's not a newborn. She's around 4. She's really cute and she's Australian. So she has like a slight accent and her vocabulary is just, it's very wide and she has a lot of stuff to say.
She say, good day, Brian.
Good day, Brian.
Good day, Brian.
Stuff like that. She's really cute. So how about you? What have you been up to?
Let me see what happened. Well, I know we talked about All Souls Day in the last episode. So my father recently died.
Oh, my condolences.
Thank you. But yeah, I mean, he was quite sickly, so it isn't quite a surprise. But yeah, that was one. What else? Other thing, I haven't been running lately. I used to run right after the office, but I got into a new hobby right now.
I saw Facebook.
I've been busking. So if you don't know what busking is, it's basically street performing. So I perform acoustic sets in the streets of Bonifacio High Street in BGC in Taguig. So that's cool. Probably we could talk about busking in one of our episodes.
It's really cool. Let you busk until now?
Yeah. I still busk after office hours. So I'm in Bonifacio Global City every 6:30 p.m. So you wouldn't know it's me, but I do perform there. So there. So as they say, let's go on with the show.
Yeah.
What's going on inside Brian and Jenny's head? Brain matter.
So our topic for this episode, quite weird. It's weird. This is probably the first episode that we have that we already have a title for.
Yeah,
so
that's
the title for this one is Darwin Fish Out of Water.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
So, we're going to talk about two things. We're going to talk about Brian here recently got into a debate in school.
School debate about whether or not God is dead or alive.
Yeah, and then on my end, I recently also got invited to a church.
Yeah.
I've not been to church for the last 7 or 8 years of my life since I became an atheist. So that was pretty interesting. But let's start with Brian's story first.
Yeah, okay.
So what happened? You got into a debate or was it a formal debate or was this a group of friends and you just had to talk about religion?
No, because I go to a Catholic school.
Okay.
So we have a subject called Christian Living where we learn about God and all that stuff. And it was really weird because our teacher this year, he's really cool. And he wanted, it was like a brain exercise for his students. He asked people who didn't believe in God to stand up, and I was kind of hesitant because I didn't want to get in trouble. But okay. a lot of
you're
people,
out, right? I mean, people in your school or in your class at the very least, they know you're an atheist.
They do know I'm an atheist, but I don't like teachers knowing about it, mm-hmm. because maybe that'll change their perception of me.
Okay.
So just my close friends, and sometimes I like, oh yeah, I don't believe.
Right.
But then they called
me out.
But
they also know that you're not Catholic.
Yeah, they know I'm not Catholic.
That part they're aware of.
They are, because when we have Mass in school, we have to take the communion.
Right.
So a bunch of us, we just get left behind, you know. A bunch of people passing by me just so they can get a...
So they know that you're not Catholic.
So,
all right, okay.
They called me out and had to stand in front of the class. And it wasn't just me.
They called you out?
Yeah, because the teacher was asking for people who didn't believe. And
okay,
I didn't want to stand up, but because... But I did want to debate.
Okay.
But I just didn't want to stand up. But eventually, I got up because, you know, I was being called out.
What was the topic of the debate?
The topic of the debate was just if God was dead or alive. Mm. And it was basically...
Is he, like, wanted? God wanted, dead or alive.
It was like an exercise. The exercise was... our teacher wanted to let the kids defend what they believe in.
Okay.
So it was like... Like, if you really do believe in God,
uh-huh.
then you should be able to defend why he's alive like that.
Okay.
So, it was really fun because I felt like I prepared for this like my entire life. Because my dad and I, we always have like thought experiments,
right.
and then he plays devil's advocate.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't know what that is, that's just like my dad plays, he's a Christian and I'm the atheist, and we'll have mock debates and stuff,
okay.
which is really fun, which I really enjoy. So, being able to apply
that. So, was this graded?
No, it wasn't graded. That's the thing about our Christian living. Our Christian living subject for this year, it's not a lot of lectures anymore.
Uh-huh.
It's more about learning about life, which I do like, even if I'm not a believer, if I don't believe in God.
So let's go to the debate proper itself. How did it go?
The debate wasn't formal itself. How it went was there were just the two of us, the two atheists, along with our teacher, who mm-hmm. actually was playing devil's advocate with us.
Okay.
So... It was, we'd have our opening statement,
mm-hmm.
why we didn't believe,
right.
around 5 minutes to talk, each of us. And then if the class had any questions, they'd raise a POI and a person of interest,
mm-hmm.
that is, yeah. They'll ask a question and then we'll try to answer it.
Okay.
And or we throw a question back at them.
Okay, so let me ask you, what was the most difficult question that you were asked, you think?
I don't really think I have any, that they gave me any question that I was really stumped with.
Wow, cocky.
Cocky, no. It's just that because I feel like I've had, the way I became an atheist was through asking so many questions through my dad.
Uh-huh.
Because I was a very religious person growing up. And when my dad became an atheist, I was really shocked and I didn't understand why. So it just led me asking so many questions, and the reason why I didn't have a problem with any of the questions they asked is because they were similar questions and answers.
Yeah, but
that
give us an example. So what was like the typical, I'm sure you had a lot of people were asking like basically the same questions.
Yeah, basically
so what was
the
like
same
the same
question. It was the biggest one was how we were created.
How are we created?
Yeah, and surprisingly a lot of my batchmates don't really believe in evolution.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah.
So they believe
so that was
in
really
a literal creation story.
Yeah, the creation story. So, and they were giving me arguments like, why do we have two ears? Why do we have two eyes? And stuff
the
like
better
that.
Better to hear you.
Babe. Yeah. But that was basically their arguments. And
Wait. Why? What does having two ears have anything to do with
the creation story?
Yeah, with the creation story.
They're saying that basically God was the one who made everything.
Okay.
That God was the one who... The reason why we're like this, why our body's so perfect, that why our heart is on the right side of our... Is it? No, the left side. Mm. The left side of our body is because God made it that way and he designed us. And I wasn't the one who said this, but then my debate partner, he said that actually we used to have... Tails.
Yeah,
we used to have tails. And there were, you can see, he showed us like this part of your body. Like he has this thing on his wrist
mm-hmm.
and it's like a kind of bone. Some of us don't have it. Some of us do have it. So it's like, that's proof of us evolving.
Right.
Like that are used as parts of our body that we don't know. And then obviously over time, it just, we evolve there. Mm-hmm. So that was like, if they can't answer our questions or when we answer theirs, they just, another person will ask us another, yeah, another question like that.
Without having to resolve the first
one. And then they're like, oh, and this one, why are monkeys still here? That's one of the things, because we were talking about evolution.
So if we, like, evolved from monkeys, why do we still have monkeys?
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. And then I was just, I was trying not to to answer as much, because I felt like I'd have to, I had to give way to, right, my debate partner. So,
so, but how do you answer that? Oh, I tweeted before it. I think you read that.
Yeah, I think I did.
If we came from monkeys, why do we still have monkeys? Mm-hmm. I think I tweeted, although it's not original. If we came from dust,
why is there still dust? Yeah, I remember dust, yeah, that's why. Yeah. I also mentioned that.
I want to go back to the other question. If that the body is so perfect.
Yeah.
It was right that your friend said that, you know, we used to have tails because we did evolve from monkeys, yeah. Or from apes. The body is not perfect.
It's not.
If you think about it, you and I could probably design a better human being. Yeah. You drink water from the same hole you breathe with.
Mm-hmm.
Right? You could, that's why you could choke it.
Yeah.
But, and there are a lot of things that's, you know, doesn't make sense. I mean, why do men have nipples?
Yeah, that's true. I mean, well, no, actually, the reason why men have nipples is because we're all born female.
Oh, yeah. But the thing is, I have no use for it right now. Mm-hmm. Unlike you guys. I mean, they're so fixated with God having perfect creations.
Yeah.
Like the human body supposedly perfect. I mean, forgetting the fact that there are a lot of people born with birth defects. And it's just not the human body. It's also things like nature.
Yeah.
They say that nature is so perfect. They miss the fact that we have natural calamities. We have storms. We have earthquakes. We have volcanic eruptions. These are all, you know, imperfect things designed by supposedly a perfect God.
Mm-hmm.
So I just find that a little, you know, ironic that they fixate on the supposedly perfect things and totally miss the imperfections.
Yeah, that's true.
That's religion for you.
Well, what's interesting is actually, When I do say that God isn't perfect, when I give them reasons why God isn't perfect, they're gonna say there's a reason for everything, and
there's
that's
a
why
reason
our
for the imperfect.
Their arguments just keep going around and around. Yeah. Like I tell them why they're wrong, and they'll be like, "Oh no, it's all part of God's plan," and I don't understand God's plan really.
Right.
He says, because I explained to them that why do bad things happen to good people, and they said it's always part of God's plan. And I said, okay, what's God's plan for babies who have cancer, mm-hmm, like that, and babies who are born with
let me guess
okay, go,
to be angels?
no, they never said that, but they always say it's part of a bigger picture and stuff like that. Like if the baby dies, then it'll make the mother stronger, and then the mother will learn.
The mother just go to the gym
to make the mother stronger? No, but that's the thing. It's pretty messed up. And that's what my debate partner said. He said, aren't there better ways to teach us a lesson than kill your kid
and stuff like that?
And it's always about death.
Yeah.
For some reason.
It's always about having to eliminate.
Yeah, eliminate someone.
A civilization.
Yeah,
or
and
a race,
it's like if there's a problem, you kill the person who started the problem.
Yeah, like Noah's Ark, right?
Yeah.
The Great
yeah.
Flood. But I remember when you, I don't know if we talked about this in previous episodes. I think that was one of the first atheist conversations that we've had. You, when you were still small, I visited your parents' house.
Yeah, I remember.
And we were talking about it. And then I think you were talking about Noah's Ark. And then you were questioning the story. I remember you saying something like, why did God have to kill everybody and drown them? If they were just being bad, why can't God just go down from heaven and say, guys, let's fix this. Gather everybody.
Yeah.
Sit down. Let's fix this. You've been very, very bad people.
Yeah. But then there's another hole.
Uh-huh.
It's because like God knows everything that's going to happen.
Yeah. Yeah.
So
He's
it's
supposedly omniscient.
Omniscient. So he knows everything that's going to happen. But then free will.
Mm-hmm.
So like, it's not really us anymore. It's like if I do something bad, it's my fault. But if I do something good, oh, it's all part of God's plan. He helped you do that.
That's an interesting thing. The free will. I always get that as well. Free will is actually an illusion.
Yeah, it is an illusion.
It's like if you do good things, you go to heaven. And if you don't want to do good things, you know, God gave you free will. So that if you choose not to believe in Him, you burn in hell.
Yeah.
So it's like, okay, I have a choice between being good and going to heaven and not being good and going to hell. I mean, some free will, some choice. I'm forced to actually choose the better one. It's like giving me 2 glasses of water and saying that, okay, if you're really thirsty here, you can drink either of the 2 glasses. But one has poison, the red one that has poison. So choose which one you want to drink. So that's, for me, that's free will. It's kind of weird.
Yeah.
Okay, so what's any realizations from the debate?
There were a lot of, actually, because I never got the debate about my...
But how did it feel? Like, was it weird for you to tell people that you're an atheist?
It wasn't weird, because being an atheist is just... it's a part of my personality, right. I guess. And if I weren't an atheist now, I'd be a very different person.
Right.
So when I get, when I make a new friend and I actually feel like we're getting close, sure. I make it a point to mention that I don't believe in God.
Right. So that whether if they still want to be friends, you get to weed out.
I know, yeah.
You get to weed out the people who
are. Yeah, and it wasn't weird, because it was just me talking about stuff that I actually genuinely had questions about and wanted to hear them, hear their answers. And listening to my batchmates argue and defend their beliefs, it was really interesting. And you could really, I respect them, because their arguments, they were full of passion. Yeah, yeah. And you could see like, oh, I could never support something that I don't understand.
Right.
Just seeing them do that, I do have respect for them for that. But then I did realize a couple of things, which was that some of their arguments, in my opinion, was just driven by emotion and wasn't really rational.
Right,
and then that's really how religion is.
Right,
it's because it brings you a lot of emotion, like God's love and stuff like that. God will always be there for you when you need Him. So it makes sense that their arguments are also full of emotion. But ours, it was just more of facts and science, which they kind of really didn't like, which I noticed. They didn't like it when we were talking about science. It was like they were looking at us really weird. Mm. And that was basically it, though.
Do you have any final insights about the debate?
Well, to summarize the entire experience, it was really new for me. And it was really cool, because, again, I was able to be myself in a place that I didn't really feel safe, you know, because in a room full of Christians, just being the only atheist, it's not exactly nice. But then I got to talk about a topic that I was really passionate about, and I got to see how, you know, my fellow batchmates perceived and processed what I say about their God. So it was really interesting to see all of that. Right. So that was new, and that was it. But it was a really nice experience. So I believe you also have a topic.
Yeah, actually, we both have a topic. This one, my topic also involves you.
Yes.
So at the start of the show, I know I mentioned that my dad recently passed away. So several of the relatives from my mom's side who are quite religious. We haven't seen each other in quite a while, and they were asking me, Where do I go to church? And of course, I had to tell them that I'm an atheist, by the way. So I haven't come out. My mom knows. My dad knows as well. They're pretty much all right. Semi all right. My mom especially. Semi all right about it. She's not quite happy about the fact that her eldest son is a non-believer. But she kind of accepts the fact. But my relatives, they don't know anything about it. So it was weird. So when they found out that I don't go to church, I've of course got invited to their church. So one of my cousins reached out to me and invited me to go to the church that she actually goes to. So because I don't want to go there alone, I dragged Brian here.
Yeah, he did.
So Brian was actually with me throughout this entire experience, because you haven't been to church at all.
Well, or you
have church in school, but that's Catholic.
Mm-hmm.
So the church that we went to is full gospel born again. I think that's the kind of church that we went to. It's a born again Christian church.
Yeah.
So I've not been in church for the last 8 years of my life, and that was your first time. So I figured
it was my first time to go to a non-Catholic
yeah,
church.
Yeah. So a couple
service.
Of first impressions on my end, Brian. A couple of things right off the bat. Of course, I expected this. People were super mega friendly.
Yeah.
Super friendly.
But it was nice. It was really nice.
Yeah, from the time that we went to the door, we were given name tags. What else? The church itself was quite posh, a little posh. I've been to very low budget churches before. Mm-hmm. So relatively poorer churches, the ones that I used to attend. So this one was really nice. The fact that it was air conditioned was nice. The facilities were really, really nice. I was like really blown away by the equipment that they had. So it was really cool. What else? You know, you have your standard music ministry. I like the fact that they had an actual choir. They were like dressed up in like these robes, like the stereotype choir that you see in Baptist churches in the South,
in the
US. So they have that, and they had a keyboard player, or was it a pianist? They had a keyboard player, which was actually really good. Although the guitar player, you know, was really sucky. The guy was literally sucked
balls. But
it's
for God, so it's okay.
He what?
It's for God, so it's okay.
Well, can't God give him more guitar skills? He was really bad. But then, yeah, again, nobody seemed to mind. So there, that was the church. But the actual experience, I don't know if you've listened to the actual sermon or the topic. It was your usual topic. I mean, I really didn't pay that much attention to it. I feel bad, actually, because I was zoning out
several times. You know,
to sum it up, the topic was about, one, God, how God punishes backsliders. If you backslide, God basically is going to kick your ass if you don't go back. And it also talks about preserving the faithful.
Can you define backslide for us?
Backsliding is if you were with God, to put it very simply, you were with God and then you're no longer with God.
To us.
So we're called, I think technically called apostates. So I think you can define atheists as backsliders if you once knew God, I would suppose. But if you were born an atheist, you can't be a backslider.
Because I am a backslider.
Yeah, so... I guess we are backsliders in that respect. The second part of it was like preserving the faithful, and then they all wrapped it up in a nice bow by saying that, you know, God promises future restorations for people.
Mm-hmm.
So my takeaways, basically, like I said, I've not been to church in quite a while. But one of the reasons why I did stop going to church was because even back then, when I was still attending these services, I never felt like I learned anything with respect to being a good person. I never felt like I learned anything that I could have not arrived on my own.
Mm-hmm.
Like especially being a good neighbor, a good son, a good friend. I feel like being a good person, you don't need to hear that from another person. I mean, I feel like it's very... common sense. I think my wife and I actually had a discussion about this. Back when my own child was very small, we already stopped going to church, or I wasn't going to church already during that time. But still wasn't an atheist.
Uh-huh.
But my wife asked. Our daughter was starting to grow up. She's at around 5 or 6, I think, during that time. And she was asking me questions like, shouldn't we like find a church so that your daughter would be God-fearing and, you know, would grow up to be a good person?
God-fearing.
And I very told my wife that, you know, can't we be enough? Can't we be, as parents, be the ones that instill morality? Can't we teach our daughter good and evil, or what's right and what's wrong? Do we really need a church for that? So, yeah, I mean, that was one of the realizations. I didn't learn or heard anything that, I didn't know that, you know, good thing.
Yeah.
Okay, I'll stop doing that. I'll be a better person. And then the other thing I found interesting was that after the service ended, Brian and I were actually, because we were newbies,
yeah,
we were like the newcomers. We were escorted into the newbie room.
Yeah, where, it was just the annex.
Yeah, we were taken into this room where another person who was new to the church as well was there, and they just basically welcomed us.
Yeah, there was food and drinks though.
So there was bucci, nice. If I remember. Yeah. You know, those desserts. You get the chowking.
Yeah.
So you get the bucci and then you have the pineapple juice. And then, so there were a nice couple that was there facilitating the discussion. And basically what they did was they asked us if we had any prayer requests.
Mm-hmm.
And they were asking us what was our old church. And I said that we don't have a church. I think I openly said that our non-religious. And I feel like the person that was there facilitating the discussion was very ill-equipped to handle
with us.
Yeah, not just to handle us, but you know, she wasn't prepared for that question.
I think it's because she didn't expect us to be so open to come there.
It wasn't a question actually. It was more of she was not expecting that response. Mm-hmm. That we have two non-religious people, but I felt like that was a great opportunity. If you're really your job was really to welcome people and, you know, to make them come to church,
mm-hmm.
you should at least address that topic. But, yeah. You know, I wasn't looking for a debate. I was asked, so what's your religion? And I told them, oh, we're not religious. We're non-religious.
Yeah.
And I felt like, you know, they didn't pursue that topic. What happened was that when I said that I was not religious, or we were not religious, she went into this. I think it was it was part of their spiel.
Yeah, that, the script.
Their script that they said, "Oh, okay, you don't have any prayer requests. You know how God created the heavens and the earth for mm-hmm. 6 days, and all He's asking is like a day of your 1 hour or 2 hours of your time every Sunday. So it's, you know, it's a little, it makes you feel guilty, right? You know?
Yeah.
So she was
guilting us into going to church.
Yeah, she was harping on that, and I found it really weird that I don't know. I mean, I just felt like it was awkward that you're non-religious, I mean, but okay, let me just finish my script. so there.
It's mandatory.
Yeah. So what else? I think, you know, my takeaways from that entire experience is that it felt good, similar to your debate. I think it felt good also for me to finally go to church and tell people that, oh, I'm not religious. Mm-hmm. I mean, of course, I didn't announce it, but I was in an actual church and I was asked what your religious was. What?
Yeah, I said I was screaming, I am not religious.
No. So, similar to your debate, it was the first time that I went to church where I was openly not religious.
Mm-hmm.
It's just interesting to go back to church with a fresh set of eyes. You know, mm-hmm. you listen to the music ministry with a different set of ears. You see everything happening with a different set of eyes. And yeah. I get it. I mean, I get the appeal.
Because you're looking at it from a different
yeah,
perspective.
Yeah, exactly.
Now.
And I get the appeal of churches. And I think one of the reasons why people keep coming back to churches, it's really apart from, of course, they believe in a God. And of course, they believe that, you know, that they go there to recharge their spiritual batteries.
Yeah.
I do get that. But it's also the sense of community. And I kind of get that. And it's one thing that probably the atheist community doesn't have. It's like, we don't have our own version of a church.
Yeah, we don't.
Although there are, you know...
There are communities.
There are
like,
communities,
we have
of
meetings.
Course, yeah, of like-minded people.
Yeah.
But that's one of the reasons why, you know, I get it, why people would want to go to a church. So, there, I mean, that's basically it. I mean, it was nice to be there. And, you know, again, thank you for coming along.
Thank you for dragging me.
Well, at least you have your first non-Catholic church
experience.
Well, it
was really interesting. Like,
but do you have any insights, like, for your own?
My biggest one was really about the community being... Because I noticed that, too, because... It's always nice to be included,
mm-hmm.
to be part of something as big as that.
Right.
And I feel like I get how it could be nice to be part of a community like that. Although I don't think church is the only place mm-hmm. to feel included.
Yeah, there's definitely a secular equivalent.
Yeah, there is.
I think there's nothing that happens in the church that doesn't have an analog equivalent to secularism.
Mm-hmm.
So you can get all the fuzzy feelings as well. Yeah. You know, outside of church, most definitely.
Yeah, and like, the reason why I can't go to church is like what I said earlier. I personally can't support something that I'm not certain about.
Right.
And there's a lot of uncertainty and right. it's all based on faith. And I can't bring myself to be so passionate like
right,
them.
Right,
so.
Right. So you've attended, that's a born-again Christian
yeah,
church.
It is.
And you've attended a Catholic church in mm-hmm. your school because you're required. Biggest difference?
So it's less routine, more casual, because in
the Catholics more routine. It's more
process more routine. It's more sit, stand, listen, and then here's your snack like that. And then
they have snacks.
The communion. Yeah.
The body of Christ is your snack. Wow.
Here's your treat like that. But then that's the thing. It's all very routine, and you can see a lot of people dozing off because it's just someone reading something off of a book. But then I feel like the service that we attended, it was more of the stuff they're saying was how they understood what they read. And it wasn't just like, today's gospel is blah, blah, blah. It was more of insights. And they actually talked about, I think that was the homily. They talked about news, current news. So it was really cool.
That's one of the things that I didn't like, actually.
Why?
From the church service. I felt like there was a lot of politics. I mean, they talked about
Philippine
politics.
Because you think
politics.
That they shouldn't be involved with politics?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, separation of church and state, right?
We really don't have that here in the Philippines.
So, yeah, I know that. But the thing is, I feel like that shouldn't be discussed. And if you're going to make analogies or you're going to make examples, I think you should leave politics out of it because it's a separate topic.
Mm-hmm.
So I think the church we went to was a little anti-Duterte.
Yeah.
Oh, I think the reason why they were anti-Duterte because I think Duterte, the president, I think he made a statement that like your God is stupid.
He did. Yeah. And that's why they're saying that they're going to pray for him. Let us pray for our president, Duterte, and stuff like that.
Right.
So I don't know. I think that was talking about the news. It was okay. But then, yeah, I agree that they should stay away from politics and
so
stuff.
Would you go back?
I would go back but not as a regular thing, mm-hmm. but just like.
But why would you go back after
I'd
all
go
that
back
you said?
Because it's pretty interesting.
Of the
because of the bucci.
Because of the food.
Because of the, well, I didn't actually get to try it. But I'd go back because it's really interesting. I mean, church is constantly changing.
Mm-hmm.
So it would be interesting to see how it would change. And I'm always open to learning more stuff about God. So it's not like I don't want to believe in God.
Right,
it's just
right,
I have
right.
no reason to. So if I go there from time to time, it's just like checking. Did anything change? All right.
But
no.
Your dad or your parents, mm-hmm. they allowed you to go to church.
They did.
Right?
They
no,
don't...
So, yeah, I mean, I did ask you to join me. But what was their reaction?
What time will you get home? Because they're my parents. It's like, how will you get there? How will you get
home?
Right. It was just the basic stuff, but it wasn't really like, it wasn't anything.
But that's the other thing. Your parents and your mom, you know, that they were open to you finding out, you know, they were, your parents
going
were
to
open
church.
To you going to, to a church. That doesn't happen the other way around.
No, it doesn't. It really
you will
doesn't.
Never hear, you know, Christian parents tell their kids, oh, I'm curious about this atheist group. Can I talk to them? Can I join them?
Yeah, so for
it's
no.
Not gonna, that's a hard no. But if you hear atheist parents or people who don't believe in a God, if their kid want to, their children want to explore other ideas and other philosophies and other beliefs, I think that atheist parents are really more open because
they go for it.
Yeah,
explore.
I mean, and the funny thing there is that if Christians are so secure about their God, it being the truth and all,
yeah,
it should stand any form of criticism. It should stand any form of questioning.
Yeah.
So that's
one thing.
Right.
Yeah. Well, that's how my experience. You know, my fuck.
All right. That's amen.
And now it's time for Brian and Jenny recommends.
So for this part of the program, I don't think I really have anything to recommend other than for my story about the church thing. I did say that there is a secular equivalent. If you're a person who used to go to church and you kind of miss the community, there are online communities of like-minded people. So when I first started being an atheist, when I first came out, I reached out to a group called here in Manila called the Filipino Freethinkers. Although I'm not active in that organization.
You actually invited me to one of their
meetings. Yeah, I know. I remember. There were meetups in the South where we both attended. But I feel like while it was interesting for me to meet new people, and the great thing about it, I would say, is that I was able to meet people that I would have normally closed my doors to. Like, it's cool that, you know, I got to meet a lot of other atheists. But apart from being atheists, they're also like musicians.
Yeah,
they're poets. They're parents. They're people in the corporate world as well. So it's just nice that my circle of friends or my network actually grew. So the church door closed, but you know the secular door opened, and it opened to a lot of other possibilities.
Yeah.
So I think that's one. So if you miss the church community, there is a secular community out there, especially online right now. That's something that, you know, that was not previously available in my generation and the baby boomers as well. So they didn't have that. So it's nice that I think it's the best time to become an atheist here, to come out as an atheist. Apart from the resources being so available right now, the support group and the communities are actually already there. Okay, so how about you? Do you have anything from your end you want to recommend to the multitudes of listeners that we have?
Wow, okay.
I don't know how many.
Hi to all six of you.
All six of you, yeah. Your mom, your dad, your Lola.
Yeah. Well, it's not really recommend. I guess it's advice. Uh-huh. If ever you're going to debate, like, the reason why I feel like my debate went so well is because I prepared for it. And
duh.
Yeah. Well, you know, not just science, prepared, like normally prepared for it, but it's the definition of an atheist has changed.
So are you saying basically that your classmates were unprepared?
No, I'm saying that as an atheist, if you're going to debate, because Christians, all their life, they prepare for, they have their subjects to understand God and stuff. Right. They have the Bible to guide them. Right. So they're prepared. They have some, even if they don't research, they're prepared. Yeah. Some, you know. They're somewhat prepared.
Yeah, yeah.
But I feel like atheists, it's up to us. Nobody's really going to help us.
Right.
So it's really up to us to watch debates and to formulate our own arguments and to, like I said earlier, to play devil's advocate. Mm-hmm. And it's really fun to play devil's advocate because you get to ask yourself questions like, oh, I didn't think of that. Like as an atheist, how would I answer this question?
Yeah.
So it's really good if you're an atheist that you make sure that you have arguments and you don't just focus on your side of the argument.
Mm-hmm.
You focus on how they would perceive it as well, questions they would ask.
Sure.
So it's really thinking ahead, you know, advancement.
Yeah, but the thing about, you know, preparing and defending yourself as an atheist, I think of it the other way around, it because the burden of proof, it's really not on the atheist.
Yeah, it's not.
It's not like you need to prove to people there is no God, because you're not the one claiming that there is a God.
Yeah.
You're the one, you're on the side of the fence where I don't know if there's a God. I mean, based on the evidence,
you're the one who has to be convinced.
Right. You need to convince me there is a God.
Yeah.
And for most parts, like in the church and like the casual Christian that you'll get to meet on the street, they'll just tell you, oh, because the Bible says so. And then if you ask stuff about the Bible, oh, it's because of the word, it's the word of God. And then if you know, if you try to drill down even further, they'll say, "Oh, it's you have to take it on faith." Eh. So I mean, faith doesn't really does it for me. Yeah, it doesn't really do anything for me. I mean, faith is the lack of evidence. It's your justification when you have no good reason, when you run out of evidence and good reasons to believe in something. You just say faith. So in terms of debate, I think I don't get into debates mainly because I try to respect people's beliefs. But if I do get into a discussion about why I am an atheist, I find it more that, you know, I don't defend my side, but I just ask questions.
Yeah, that's really I kind of
lead people
are.
Into, but don't you think like this? But don't you think like that? But didn't God say this? But didn't God say that?
Yeah.
And for most parts, I see that similar to that person in the welcoming room, most Christians are not really prepared. They don't read their Bible. And plus, they use the convenient faith and God works in mysterious ways kind of reasoning, which is odd because those things will not hold up in court.
Yeah, they won't.
It will not hold up in court. And I think even the most devout Christians, they exercise more rational thinking and they exercise more logic into other aspects of their life, except religion.
Yeah.
I mean, if you try to question them about, you know, do you believe in fairies? Do you believe in dwarves and trolls and everything? And they'll say, no, I mean, there's no evidence for that.
That's so ironic.
What if I say, oh, there's this book of trolls, the book of fairies. And then, oh, that's not real. That's written by man, you know? Or that was written so long ago. Yeah. How can you be sure that, you know, that what the context of that book of fairies is actually even
but
real?
But God is real.
But fairies are real. But the thing is, you know, that if it comes to their God, it's, you know, all logic goes out of the door. Yeah. All logic goes out the door.
Yeah.
So it's just funny. But yeah, I mean,
love is blind.
What?
Love is blind.
What does that have to do with?
Because I feel like it's like
Because your love, you love
your love for God. So it's like, oh no, no, everything he says is good.
Yeah, so it's like that the husband that beats up the wife.
Yeah.
But I love my husband.
Yeah, love is blind.
You don't get to see the violence behind it. Yeah, well, that's kind of a good analogy.
Yeah.
So yeah.
But to wrap up the debate thing, I feel like the one thing that I would recommend, like I really strongly recommend, is you, as an atheist, don't think you're above them just because you're making sound arguments.
Of course,
exercise respect. Because
same. Yeah, I completely agree. Yeah. Every time I talk to theists, the empathy is there because I was once a theist.
Too,
I used to believe in a God, so I can bring myself to that mindset. But yeah, they're gonna use faith any moment now.
Yeah, but the thing is, like, sometimes it's gonna get frustrating because the argument's gonna go in a circle. But honestly, I feel like I don't want to attack them. Mm-hmm. I don't want them to. They already think we're Satanists for some reason. They already think we're bad people.
Right.
And I wanna represent our people. You know, I wanna be able. Like, right. I'm a good atheist. I'm a good person. Just because I don't believe doesn't mean I'm not a good person.
There are bad atheists.
There are bad atheists, but there are also bad Christians.
Yeah, yeah.
There are
definitely
bad Catholics.
No debate about that.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I think that's the reason why I've been so happy that I went to that church, or even my cousin and some of my relatives know that I'm an atheist. Because if you look at me with purely secular eyes, there's nothing wrong.
Yeah.
I mean, the only difference that I would have with another person is that I don't use the God
to justify your actions.
Not just to justify my actions, but I don't use that worldview that a God needs to be involved.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So apart from that, I'm pretty normal.
Yeah.
And that's the word that I wanna, you know, push for. I want to normalize atheism. I wanna normalize the fact that in the last three companies that I've worked for, I've been very open about my atheism. I'm like super mega open about it.
Yeah.
To the point that, you know, like, let's say there's food that they want to pray for the food, that they'll say things like, oh, Jenny, you want to step out because we're going to pray for the food, or we're going to start the activity and we're going to pray if you want to, like, step out first.
It's pretty funny.
Yeah, it's been very, very open. And that's one of my main goals, to make atheism normal for people. People don't meet a whole lot of atheists because, you know, I understand why some would be very, very closeted about it. But yeah, I want it to be normal. Mm-hmm. I want people to say, oh, I know Jenny. Oh, I know Brian. They're atheists. They're good people. And I think to a certain degree, I think I've had other Christians defend people like us.
Yeah, is really always nice.
Right.
Your feedback is important to Brian and Jenny. Well, sort of.
So, no surprise here. We don't have any messages. Nobody bothered to even make a comment in the last episode. But it's fine. I don't blame our listeners. I mean, we've been on and off. But if you do want to send us a message.
Yeah, if you want to send us a message.
How do they do that?
Okay. So if you want to send us a message, you can go to our Facebook and search for Growing Up Optional and leave us a message there. We respond to every message because, you know.
If you do send a message. Yeah. If you do leave a
we
message,
don't get a lot
we
of
promise
them.
To reply to it.
Yeah.
Or actually, we'll read it, right? We'll read it also. In the past, we've read the few people that cared enough to make comments. We read them in the show. So while we could still do that, you know, I encourage you guys to
leave us a message now before the messages start pouring in.
Pouring in.
Yeah. Or actually, you can do it the old-fashioned way and you shoot us an actual email at growingupoptional@gmail.com.
Right.
Yeah.
And this is funny, most people... podcasting is not very popular here in the Philippines.
It's not.
It's so unpopular, or not as popular as we'd want it to be, that people who have iPhones, they don't realize that they have already a built-in, pre-installed podcast player in their iOS devices.
Yeah, I didn't know that.
See?
I have an iPad. But you told me to check out our podcast. Where? I don't have that.
Sweet. My co-host doesn't know that. Even my co-host doesn't know that she has an iPod app in her iOS device. But yeah, you do. So just look for the podcast player. Search for Growing Up Optional, the podcast with Brian and Jenny. Or just Growing Up Optional, the podcast. It'll show up in the search results. If you have an Android device, it's a little more tricky. But you can download a podcast app or a podcast player. The one that I personally use is Podcast Republic. So you download that. And then you search for Growing Up Optional, the podcast. You'll see our logo. You just add it up. And there you go. Let the universe do its thing.
But if you want to download our podcast episodes because you just love MP3s, go to http://growingupoptional.podomatic.com.
All right. I think we should also explore Spotify.
Spotify. You know you have to pay to be
in
Spotify.
You have to pay?
Yeah, I heard, unless we get really famous and Spotify comes to us, so
hey, but Spotify. That's where the sponsors come in.
Yeah,
do check out our media, so go to our Facebook, go to our...
Yeah, we post photos in our Facebook page.
Leave us a message, we will read them.
Yeah, we really appreciate messages, guys.
Yep, we love reading them.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, all good things must come to an end.
So that's a wrap. That is episode 6.
Episode 6, guys.
Relatively shorter than the last few episodes. But we'll try to make it more often.
When the next big thing happens.
The next big thing happens. Oh, we could talk about busking.
Yeah, we will talk about busking.
I'm inviting Brian here to play percussions for me when I play in a BGC. So we'll see if that's going to materialize soon. And we'll talk about what it feels like to do public street performance.
Yeah, it's an adrenaline rush.
Right. So that's episode 6 for you guys.
Yeah. This has been Brian.
And this has been Jenny.
Saying growing old is inevitable.
But growing up will always be optional.
Bye.
Bye for now. Bye for now. See you in the next episode.
Drop us a message. I really want to read the message in the next one.
Yeah. Sounds so pathetic saying that.
Okay, bye.
Bye. Yep. Bye.